A very welcome back to the 9 till noon show, and it's a very special 9 till noon show. We are full of joy here. Had a lovely chat to a wonderful, wonderful couple, Bernadette and Brendan Devine, who are very loyal Highland Radio listeners, and they've had a tough time, as many of us have. You know, it's... as a family, you know, yourself and large families, unfortunately, it's not always good news and problems visit us and what have you. But it's great to see Bernadette so well and Brendan too on the right road. And they are here with the wider family as well, as many of them as could make it, because they are welcoming home Claire from Australia. Claire and her hubby and the three children. The last time they saw the eldest child, they were three. The last time they saw the second eldest, they were just a tot, and they've yet to meet Lucky, who's just 7 months old. And Claire and family have endured a 40-hour-plus journey, and they are now in the air from London to land here at around about 12 or 12:30, and it's not going to happen in the course of this program, but stay tuned, set your reminders on our socials, because we'll be coming in to John Breslin's show to bring you home for Christmas live from the city of Derry Airport. We've got great access, we'll have great visuals and great audio, so please stick around and stay tuned for that. I'm joined on the program now as part of Wellness Wednesday by Joe, who's a therapist on Pieta's Crisis Helpline. Joe, can you hear me okay? Good morning to you.
I can indeed. I can hear you loud and clear. How are you all this morning?
I'm doing good, and thank you for being so patient. Just to remind people, the services of Pieta. I know that might sound like a really obvious question, but I always presume everyone knows precisely what it is and when it's there for you. So maybe just to start with a recap of that, if that's okay, Joe.
Absolutely fine. I suppose Pieta, as we know, we have several services across our organization. I suppose the one that I would be representing really today is our helpline. Our helpline is 24/7, 365 days a year. We never close. We are always at the end of the phone to hold hope for people, to connect with people, to support people through quite difficult times. You know, Christmas time especially is a really challenging time for so many people. It's not always a time of festivities and happiness and joy. It can really exacerbate loneliness. You know, if somebody has had, as you had with your two previous callers, you know, they've had challenging times over the years, you know, so it can really exacerbate and highlight things at Christmas for people. So we are always here. We're always here to answer the phone. We have a team of qualified therapists that are always at the end of the phone. So regardless of what's happening, you're never alone with Pieta. There's always somebody there to support you and just take that time to help you through what can very often be a very difficult time.
Yeah, indeed. And I suppose if you are going through a difficult time, maybe you have poor mental health or a separation, or you lost someone around this time of year, or for whatever it might be, you look around you and especially on social media and you think, you know, everyone else is okay. Why am I not? But the truth is too, you know, we only see the best of what we're prepared to share on social media or elsewhere. And, you know, more people than you might imagine struggle, but it's about sort of levels, isn't it? And one person's struggle can be much greater than another. And that's why services like Pieta and the support lines are so important. They're there for those people to not feel alone, to not feel like there's not, you know, to not feel there's no help out there.
Absolutely, Greg. You know, and crisis can mean different things to different people. You know, at what point do we feel that we need to reach out? And very often, you know, we hold all of these feelings and thoughts within ourselves. And yes, Pieta, you know, we work with people who are presenting with suicidal ideation, who have thoughts of suicide, who have been bereaved by suicide, or who have, you know, thoughts of self-harm and who are actively seeking suicide. You know, but we also support people who are, you know, who are finding things really difficult, really challenging, who find themselves alone. At 4 o'clock in the morning, there's nobody else to call. They don't have that support team around them. The services are closed. So we are always there to support. We're always there to hold hope. And it can just be that one conversation, that one connection, to know that there's somebody there. You know, it's a stranger. And very often people find it so much easier to open up to a stranger than they do to their own family. Because, and we always hear that on the helpline, you know, everyone has something else going on. I don't want to be a burden to my family, you know. But it's those times that those are the most important times to reach out, you know. We're all only human. We're all only coping. We're all only doing the best we can, you know. And our worlds are in crisis, let alone our communities and our services. So, you know, PIETA is that candle of hope. It is that light in the darkness. It is that darkness into light. It is all of those pieces, you know, that we represent across the year, not just on special occasions. We are there 24/7 every day to answer those calls and to take the time with people that reach out to us, you know, and trust us to be able to support them. And it's a privilege to be able to do the work that we do. We don't take it for granted, because as we know, you know, it can be a very fine line from you know, the call being reversed from me ringing into the helpline. You know, it can be something as really simple as that. So we're always there. We're always there to take the call. We're always there to answer the phone. Don't ever hesitate, because it can, you know, it takes huge courage for people to reach out to somebody and say, I need help with this. You know, I can't cope. I'm unable to cope. I'm overwhelmed. You know, and that's the time that we're there to support.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, the overwhelming majority of us as well, it's not an inconvenience for someone to reach out and say they're struggling. You know, we want to hear that as well, too.
Absolutely.
So obviously this conversation is very useful in getting that very important message out there. But it's also about how these services can be maintained. And you're asking people to support Light Up the Darkness Appeal. So talk to us about that and how people can get involved and support.
Yeah, and again, you know, our Light Up the Darkness for Christmas, you know, it's our PIETA Christmas Appeal. So tomorrow, the 18th of December, we're inviting communities across Ireland to put on their festive lights, their jumpers, or a little bit of sparkle, and to fundraise or donate. You know, 80% of our funding comes from, you know, the generosity of the nation of Ireland. You know, we really are dependent on that. You know, that holds that hope for people. It keeps the lights on. It keeps the calls being answered. And it's really, really important. And for me on the helpline, those donations directly translate into something really simple but very powerful. And it's having that qualified therapist, that person to hold hope, there to answer the phone when somebody reaches out to us on one of the hardest days of their lives, you know. So I suppose that for us is really, really difficult. And Christmas is just a real time of financial pressure across, you know, across our services, across our communities. There can be so much happening for us. So we really are, you know, we're dependent on the communities to come together, you know, to support us so that we can continue to do this really vital work and support, you know, our communities and individuals across the Christmas time. But again, across 365 days of the year.
Yeah, okay, Joe, listen, thanks so much for joining us. If people, just remind us, sorry, of the helplines or how people can get help, and we really encourage people to do so.
Absolutely, you know, and don't hesitate to make that call. You know, regardless of what's happening for you, reach out to us. You know, all our information is on www.pieta.ie. Our helpline number for the crisis helpline is 1-800. If you think 247 247, we're there 24/7. And we also have the text service. So if somebody is unable to, you know, is finding it really difficult to open up and express on the phone with somebody, you know, our therapists also run our text service as well. So if you text HELP in capital letters, HELP, to 51444, again, you'll come through to our qualified therapist, and we can support you through that platform as well. So there's lots of ways to reach out. Again, if you don't have a pen and piece of paper to write all of this down, just go on to the website, pieta.ie, and all of our information is there. How to donate, how to access, how to, you know, to gain access through to our PIETA therapy services as well. So it's not just making that call. There's a support pathway through the whole process of PIETA from beginning to end with our therapy services as well. So those are really, really important support pathways for people as we just navigate, you know, the complexities of life very often. But make that call. Please make that call. Don't hesitate to make that call. We're waiting here to support you.
Okay, listen, Joel, thanks very much for that. We really do appreciate your time. And as Joel mentioned there, you know, life can get very, very tough, and it can feel a little bit like, you know, very much overwhelming. But it's good to talk. We want to. It's very important you reach out and speak to someone, whether it's someone in your life, a trusted friend, a family member, or services like the Samaritans, Pieta, etc. It really is important. Nothing is insurmountable. No problem can't be overcome with the right support and help. So don't feel lonely or helpless. Please reach out. Sometimes I think people can think in their own minds that they might be doing the right thing for other people. Trust me. We want to speak to you. We want to hear how we can help. And certain Pieta, Samaritans, Alone, etc., they're all there for that as well. There's a whole community of people and a whole nation of people that want to be there to help someone, because they would hope that the others are there when they need their help too. So please, especially at this time of year where emotions can be elevated, please, if you do need help, reach out and get it. Just start with a conversation. 0860 25000 is our WhatsApp and text number. You can give us a call on 07491 25000. We're broadcasting live from the city of Derry Airport here in Derry, as you can imagine, and excitement is building. We have the Divine family and threads of that family here. They are waiting with bated breath. We are all on tenterhooks because we are awaiting the arrival from Australia of Claire and family. Claire, the hubby, and three children. They're a really close-knit family. Claire video calls every morning and every night to say goodbye, or say good morning, good night. And she's a very important part of the Divine family, of course. It's been over 3 years since they've been all home together, and a lot can happen in 3 years. A three-year-old can become six, of course. A tiny wee baby can become a toddler. And Latchie, well, I can't say what he's going to become, but you know how babies work, right? Latchie's going to be seen for the very first time by a very excited, nervous, and full of emotion Bernadette and Brendan and their support family that are here. Claire is in the air. Claire and family are in the air. They're going to be descending very, very shortly. Their flight is due here at 12:05. That's slightly delayed. Normally it lands a little earlier, but it was delayed in London, or its departure from here. I'm not really quite sure, but that doesn't matter. But suffice to say, we are quite literally going to be waiting for them on the tarmac to welcome them home to the city of Derry Airport here, and to guide them through arrivals and into the warm embrace of their family after a 40-hour plus journey. And this is a moment that could not have happened if it wasn't for home for Christmas, and we're all so excited to be a part of it. Do not go anywhere. You'll not miss a moment of it on air or online and on our social media. It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of. And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio. I'm joined on it now by Fianna Fáil Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher. Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg.
So, I mean, a lot has been reported. You would swear there was a press pool at the parliamentary party meeting, the amount of information that came out of it. But I'm very interested in your reflection on, I suppose, the investigation into the selection of Jim Gavin as a candidate, how that selection was handled, and I suppose the fallout since, in your own words, Pat.
Well, of course, we had a five-hour meeting last night after the meeting that we had some weeks ago, and we set up the committee, gave them terms of reference to report to us. They were to report in the middle of November, and of course that was pushed out. They didn't have sufficient time to complete the report, and then the report had to go to Jim Gavin and to his legal people to have a look at it and decide if they wanted anything that suggested anything that shouldn't be in it, wouldn't be in it. That wasn't an issue, apparently. There's very little. But Jim Gavin had the opportunity to meet with the committee, the review committee, and he declined. So it brings us forward to last night's meeting, and over the last number of days, myself, Willie O'Dea, and Sean O'Farrell, we felt that there was too much procrastination, and we called on the leader to issue their report immediately, which we're told it would be issued. He received it yesterday. He was asked on a radio program when it would be forwarded to the members of the parliamentary party, and that was at 10 o'clock in the morning. He said promptly. So there's a new definition of promptly now. Promptly is 8 hours on. We got it at 5 to 6 yesterday evening, and by 6:05, one of the national papers had the entire report. Now, I suggested at the meeting last night that it possibly came at 5 to 6, so would have missed the news, but we should have had it early in the day instead of getting it on our phones while people were going to through their business here in the offices in Dublin. But anyway, well, the meeting started at 7 last night and went on to almost midnight, and in fairness to Brendan Smith, the chairman of the parliamentary party, he didn't curtail any discussions on it. He gave us all the time that we needed. The chairman of the group, together with Eamon Scanlon from Sligo, Tom Brazenan from Dublin, and Margaret Murphy O'Mahony, the senator from West Cork, they were the members, and they had the chair as the Kieran O'Loughlin, who's a senior counsel. And after we received the report and he gave us a synopsis of it last night, he answered some questions and he left, and the questions after that were answered, but not all of the questions were answered by the Taoiseach.
It feels like a lot of the answers in this report seems to be that, well, Jim Gavin never told us, we asked him and we asked him and we asked him. But what wasn't clear was how much Micheál Martin knew. Just back, actually, sorry to backtrack, Pat. How surprised are you that Jim Gavin was endorsed so strongly by Micheál Martin off the back of a single meeting? And, you know, lots of other people within the party saying, look, can we not look internally? I might even be interested, and so on and so forth. What does it say to you that Micheál Martin was able to back Jim Gavin so much off the back of one single meeting?
Jim Gavin met the leader of the party socially on a number of occasions, but it was only a fleeting meetings on the margins. Jack Chambers met with Jim Gavin on the 15th of June. Sean Dorgan, Secretary General, met him on the 21st of June. And Micheál Martin met him on the 15th of July, which was only one meeting. I don't care how long the meeting was. I don't think it was sufficient time to establish whether he was the right person or not. He possibly took the views of Jack Chambers and Sean Dorgan, but it wasn't. I mean, then all of a sudden, Jim Gavin became the Messiah, and he was going to get all the votes in Dublin, all around the country. He then, when he decided on the 1st of August that he wanted to be a candidate, he did a tour of the country. I got a call to say that he would be in Letterkenny. I was doing constituency work. I said no, but I would meet him in Dunloe. He came to meet me, a very personable individual. I told him very clearly that I was a gene pool man from early days, and that I felt that we had sufficient in the party, both former and current party members that would make a good candidate. But all lo and behold, the Taoiseach opened the process for the nominations on the 1st of September and closed it on the 9th of September. If we were nominating members to the Common of the Corley Cantor and Donegal, they would have more time than that. So it was closed very quickly. My view was, and I'm not telling any tales out of school, I'm just telling the facts that they are, I felt that it was manipulation, or as Neil T. Blaney described an Northern majority many years ago, as a contrived majority. And quite honestly, with the vote 41-29, that Billy Kelleher had a moral victory, because they say there was no coercion of members, but my goodness, when the leader of the party rings you and tells you that he's supporting Jim Gavin, of course, by inference, he's saying, well, I suggest you should support him as well. Now, we're told there's no coercion, but I don't believe that.
And that is a leadership decision, a decision that was made. That is about leadership. In our previous conversations, and I respect it and understand it, Pat, you've been You said there would be a right time for you to express, you know, publicly your views on Micheál Martin and his leadership. Are we at the point now here on Highland, I'm not sure where you've spoken earlier today, where you can say sort of clearly your views on Micheál Martin, his leadership and his future in that role?
Well, of course, I did say at the meeting last night that this was not the end of this, that we can't draw a line in the sand and move on when the decision taken by them has cost the party 400,000. And furthermore, had Jim Gavin got 12.5%, we would have recouped 250,000. And the Taoiseach also said that he wouldn't be advocating for any individual at the party meeting some weeks ago, and within 2 days he was advocating for the Fine Gael candidate. And that there changed the whole dynamic. A lot of people who wanted to vote in accordance with the Taoiseach's wishes voted. And I believe if he hadn't interfered, if he hadn't advocated, that we would have got the 12.5% for Jim Gavin and would have recouped that. Now, it's not the end, I believe. But we will have discussions amongst members of the parliamentary party in the new year, and by that I meant it's not the end of it. We'll have to decide then what decisions we might or what recommendations we might make.
And I suppose is that, and pardon me, I don't know this necessarily the ins and outs of working at it, but I presume one way to find out where we're going is a vote of confidence in his leadership. Are the numbers there to force that? And do you think that would be a decent way for the party to talk to the direction in which it wants to go?
Well, Micheál Martin said that he led us into this election, that he, in 2011, we had only 19 seats after a by-election. And of course, but it's not Micheál Martin who won all those seats. It's not Micheál Martin who won the second seat for Fianna Fáil and Donegal. And I challenged him last night that he didn't come to Donegal for the election last year, that it was the organisation and the good people of Donegal across the political divide who returned Pat the Cope to Dalyrn to take up that seat. And in return for that, my job in Dublin is to ensure that I represent the people of Donegal, both generally and as individuals, and that I will continue to do.
And if it hasn't been clear, made clear at this time, do you not believe that Micheál Martin is the man to lead Fianna Fáil?
Well, let's put it this way. If Micheál Martin is so confident that he should do that, then there's the other way that Micheál Martin should possibly put down a vote of confidence in himself, and then that would decide the matter one way or the other.
Yeah, OK. Listen, Pat, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. That's Fianna Fáil Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher. Good luck, Pat. And of course, we heard from Senator... thank you. We heard from Senator Niall Blaney a little earlier on, too, and both views seem to be somewhat aligned, not wishing to put anyone's words in anyone's mouth. OK, we'll be back with more on the programme after the break. Right, a very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We're broadcasting live from the city of Derry Airport. It's all part of Home for Christmas, and we're going to have touchdown very soon for our local family here who are making their way back from Australia. And we have the Divine family here waiting with bated breath and heart rates probably in the 200s because they haven't seen them for years, and they haven't seen some of the youngest members of the family at all. So it's not a reunion, it's a union for the very first time. Chris Ashmore is going to be joining me very shortly with Business Matters News. But I want to go first to Gerard Carlin, who's Director of Networks and Innovation at Sony Systems Operative Northern Ireland. Gerard, thank you so much for joining us. Good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. And I suppose just to give us an insight into this wonderful facility we have here in the Northwest, from your perspective, what has it meant for doing business?
Oh, it's fantastic. So Northwest, from a Sony perspective, Northwest is a really critical area for us. It's a really strong point in the grid and network. We have a lot of international investors coming over to Northern Ireland, and they would use the airport. and the close links to Derry as well. I'm from Derry myself, so I've used the airport many times myself over Christmases spent away, so I'm very familiar with it.
Is it pronounced Sonny or Sonny or
Sony?
Sony, okay. How did you get that one over the line?
Those in Donegal were the northern equivalent of AirGrid.
Okay, very good indeed. And what is the condition of the grid like in Northern Ireland? You know, we know there's been in the Republic, you know, there's massive pressure on it, particularly in the Northwest, and there's a huge 19 billion euro investment plan that's been put in place, and not too long. Obviously, over 20% of our power is now being used by data centers. In the last number of years, 88% of demand has been from data centers. So those are the challenges facing your southern counterparts. What's the situation in Northern Ireland?
Have to say first, we work very, very closely with AirGrid on all those statistics and reports that they publish. So we're very aware of what's going on with data centers in the south there. At this point in time, there are no data centers in Northern Ireland. We are working with...
Do you want some?
It's a complex question.
I know, yeah.
But they do, in some instances, they do provide services, a steady base load, can actually be a good thing for us. So what we always talk about is a plan-led approach, and what that really means is the right kind of investment in the right places. So we're working with data centers now, actually in Derry up in the northwest, and we work with them really well. They've got a really big project plan for there for a few years that will work really well for us. Right location, right timing. So it's a win-win for everybody in that situation.
Yeah, and I know...
But yes, I think there are probably bigger questions that do need to be asked, and we're very cautious about that as well.
And I'm also conscious that, data centres has become a bit of a dirty word, and it's not really all negative, and I was playing on that a little bit in offering you some of them, because there is opportunity too with the increased... if this interconnector to the northwest comes to pass, you know, we could well see data centres located in different parts of the country. Just finally, what is the capacity, where are you at in terms of capacity on the NI grid? Is it in good shape, or we have quite a bit of vulnerability at times in the Republic, and we're working to improve that. What's the situation in terms of the sort of status and health of the network in Northern Ireland?
So what we do every year is publish our winter outlook. We've updated that recently, so we always take a sort of cautious position. Electricity going into the winter, our supply, we're in a reasonable position, but we always have challenges. On the bigger, sort of longer term aspect of it, Northern Ireland has seen electricity demand fall slightly in the last few years. Now, some of that's due to efficiency, but really we should be seeing, we are planning the grid for that electricity to increase over the years as people, as people get more EVs, as people move over to heat pumps. So that's what we're planning for now, and we're pretty comfortable.
Listen, really interesting conversation. It's great to sort of get the perspective of someone who sees the benefit of this connectivity, and we're going to see it increase too with the Derry-Dublin connection as well. Continued success. Great to see a local guy doing so well as well. Thanks, Jared.
Greg, thanks for...
Look after yourself. Right, Chris Ashmore seems to have smeared Vaseline all over his camera. But we welcome... Is that the best you can do with that camera, Chris? Yes, it really is. Okay, I think I'm connected to you on a potato. Right, good morning, Chris. How are you getting on? Well, I don't know if you're on speakers either, so maybe the visuals... I can't read your lips. Can you unmute for me? Or what? No? Testing 1, 2. Chris Ashmore, come into me. No, it's not that. No, you're going to have a look at that, Chris. I think it's the way you've got your headphones plugged in or something along those lines. I don't know. You talk to me. You keep trying stuff and then talk to me whilst I remind listeners while we are here. We are here for... I'll move that there. We are here for and to build up to home for Christmas. It's all very blooming exciting. We really, really can't wait. We have the Divine Family and the connections of the Divine Family, you know, married names and all that type of stuff, with us here at the airport. And they are waiting on tenterhooks. They're waiting with bated breaths for the arrival of Claire, all the way from us. I don't have Claire's husband's name unless I've missed that, have I? Do I have Claire's husband's name? I don't. Okay. Claire and Ronan, of course I do. Claire and Ronan Brannigan and their three children, Barra and Chernan and Lockie. Chernan was a baby last time he was in Ireland. Lockie, it's his first time in Ireland. And Claire and Ronan are going to be bringing them through the arrival doors in the next hour or so. And we are going to be here live on the radio, but also across our social media. Chris, are you there?
I am here, Greg.
Okay, thank you for that. That's exactly what I need. As if things aren't tense enough in here with all the excitement, you do that to me. How are you keeping?
Very good, very good.
All right, okay. And Business Matters, by the way, it's Highland Radio's podcast, which is broadcast on Sundays at 6. Right, what's coming up on the show? I don't have any deets here at the moment, so talk to me. Give me a little bit of news, Chris.
Okay, first of all, just to let people know, there is a new bank going to be available here in Ireland. It's called Monzo. It's a digital bank. It's secured a full banking license from the European Central Bank and the Central Bank of Ireland, and already has more than 14 million customers. So it will be here in Ireland, and in the next few months, they'll be offering digital personal accounts and also of interest, an instant access savings account, which has an interest rate of 1.6%, which would be quite a lot more than you would get on your standard overnight.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, yes.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah. All right. What else is coming up? Or what else have we got news-wise?
Yeah,
I don't have the script, Chris. I'm just going to be honest. I don't have the Chris script, so you're going to have to keep going.
Yeah, grand. The Western Development Commission, it's launching a survey about the diaspora across the whole of the West, including Donegal, and looking for people in community projects, tourism, heritage, and local development to share their experience. More details on westerndevelopment.ie. And also, Greg, well worth mentioning this week, James Anthony McGinley of McGinley Coaches, who we featured on Business Matters in the past. He was honoured at the Donegal Dublin Business Network Gala by being named Business Person of the Year. And also well done to Trish McGinley and Evelyn McGlynn, who were honoured at the Donegal Women in Business Network. Big night out and awards there. And along with their committee, their membership has grown from 40 to over 200 members over the last few years.
That's really quite remarkable, isn't it, Chris, that level of growth?
It is, and it shows also the number of women in the county, big area of growth, and certainly the networking side of things has been hugely successful, and no doubt they are going to continue to grow.
Yeah, okay. And on this week's podcast, have we gone through all the news? Right, we talked about the Western Development Commission, Donegal Women in Business. Have we talked about the Donegal Women in Business Network Champion Award yet?
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Okay, sorry about that. You can imagine, Chris, there's an awful lot going on here at the moment. Right, so who's the guests on the podcast today?
Yeah, now, interesting story this week, Greg. Donegal Sea Salt, based in Cranford, really making waves, excuse the pun. They've won a number.
I'll let you know that one.
They've won a number of awards, the most recent being the Best Startup Business for 2025 at the Donegal Enterprise Awards. Now, located on the shores of Mulroy Bay, it's a wonderful example of using a natural product and bringing it to the market. So I paid a trip down there to visit the founder and owner, John Slater, and his partner, Caroline. And they showed me around the whole process, extracting the water from Mulroy Bay. And then it's evaporated in these polytunnels. And you end up, of course, with this crystal, the salt crystals, pure white, a little niche market. They've been selling very much on a local basis, had great success. And there's huge potential for the future. not sure, do you have access to a clip about how he explains how he got into the business?
It's 2025, of course I do.
I've been just looking around at other opportunities that we may use, if you like, the existing infrastructure that we had. We had a building, we're on the shore, we're on the edge of Moroy Bay. Moroy Bay has premium quality waters. As a marine scientist, yeah, what other opportunities could I look at? I considered shellfish. I considered diversifying into kind of shellfish hatcheries and nurseries. And sea salt was something I'd seen, particularly this technique of using polytunnels. I'd seen it develop in the Isle of Skye. They, I think, were probably the pioneers around about 2014, something like that, I think they started. And I kind of watched very carefully as to what they did and how it worked out for them. And I just liked the idea of working with nature.
It's a remarkable industry, that too, because it's complex and simple all at the same time, how you derive salt from the sea.
Yeah, and he has been very much keen to make sure that he's kept his input costs low and to make it as natural as possible. So the salt in the water, it comes in trays, it goes into a polytunnel, and that's heated up just with natural sunlight. So he was explaining in the podcast that it last April and May, when of course we had the great weather, the water was evaporating, it got up to over 50 degrees inside the polytunnel. It's a purely natural process. And then you get the crystal salts, and they've lovely packaging. It's available in three different sizes. A lot of it has been sold as a product. It's a great... the likes of Dorina Allen and Nevin Maguire, they have been very complimentary. Brian McMonagall in number 9 in Letterkenny. And certainly it's a company to keep an eye on, and no real surprise that they won that Enterprise Award as Best Startup, because they're going to be ramping up production in the years to come.
Chris, thank you very much for joining in with us. I really do appreciate it. Look after yourself. Have a great weekend. We are doing it again next week, are we? This time next week's Christmas Eve. So what's the story? We don't know yet. We'll find out. Chris, listen, if I don't see you between now and then, best wishes and happy Christmas to you and yours. You are tuned to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. My apologies. My mouth's somewhat removed from the mic there. We're heading towards the big one. It is Home for Christmas, and we've been building up to it over the last 3 hours whilst also keeping going with the regular show. So please stay tuned, because in the next wee while we're going to be uniting a family from the Northwest. A family are going to be together for the first time in 3 years. Like all of our families, this family, the Divine Family, have had their struggles with health. We were chatting to the wonderful Bernard and Bernadette, although I've lost that sheet, I've probably thrown it away somewhere, just about how they've come and are dealing with their struggles. And you know what, this is a connection that couldn't have happened if it wasn't for Home for Christmas. So we're really looking forward to capturing those moments for you. So stay tuned for that. Their flight is due to land around about 12:05. They have to come through security. But look, you'll not miss a thing here on Highland Radio. And thanks to John Breslin, he's going to accommodate us on his show. But we do need to take a quick break. Stay right where you are. Back with more after these. Now, we are joined on the program by Donegal man, Glenties farmer, and name to rep Michael Harkin. Michael, thank you very much for joining us. How are you keeping?
Oh, good, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, and I really appreciate your time. And condolences, obviously, on the passing of your brother, but you're using it as an opportunity to try and, I suppose, prevent other families or individuals from having to go through what you and your family have gone through.
Yeah, indeed. Because my brother had just come home from a wedding. The house was lying empty for a while. So the range wasn't working. It was an oil range. And it got oil in and got the range going. And they knew my son and other nephews, and I'd run with them the night before. And they knew there was but a fumes of the range, but they didn't, just because it wasn't going for a while, they thought, just didn't think nothing of it. But he went to bed. The house was really cold. It was October time, like, and the house was cold. And he went to bed early. And he must have got up then and put on the range. And my niece went in the next day and she just got him lying on the floor on his way into the bedroom again.
And he had succumbed to carbon monoxide fumes. Terrible. And it was something so simple that was so tragic as well. The chimney had become blocked in the intervening time between him being here last and the most recent.
Yeah, that's what happened. The crows just built a nest in the chimney, completely blocked it. Completely blocked the chimney.
And what should have been a joyous time turned into tragedy.
Yeah, that's what happened, yeah.
So you are using your loss to try and get the message out there to people to, I suppose, check their chimneys, have carbon monoxide alarms installed. Talk to me about the message you want to get across, Michael.
For people to install carbon monoxide alarms, or even for the council to help them, and you know, older people and vulnerable people, to help them and to make sure they have carbon monoxide alarms installed. For this can happen with any fuel; it doesn't have to be oil. You know, then that the carbon monoxide would give them a warning if there was fumes.
Oh, indeed. And I've heard some awful tragic cases of someone had thrown a multi-pack crisp packet into an open fire in the front room, and rather than burn, it had gone up the chimney and blocked the chimney. You know, these things can happen so quickly and so simply. And
whilst, of course, we
need to keep our chimneys cleaned, and it's something we don't talk about as much, funny enough, as we might have in the past as a nation. But the carbon monoxide alarms, that's the safety net, isn't it? That's the ultimate backup there.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that'll give you the warning and time anyway.
Okay. Listen, 2 years on since you lost your brother, as I say, what should have been a joyous time for the family. Whilst time has passed, I'm sure the pain is still ever present. And we appreciate you helping us get the message out there to make sure.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. That's right.
All right. Look after yourself. Thank you very much for your time. So, as I say, there used to be campaigns, it seemed, annually, almost every twice a year even, about you know, making sure your chimneys are clean and cleared, etc. That was just an act of nature. A crow had nested, blocked the chimney, and of course when you do so, it means that you can't allow those poisonous fumes away. Some of your comments as we head towards the end of the program. If electricity customers are being charged a fee to upgrade and improve the network, does this not effectively make these customers shareholders? As you correctly pointed out, we're doing this to accommodate data centers, who are the ones putting the network under pressure, while Airgrid are ordering the loss of 1 million per day of wind-generated electricity. I'm not sure is it Airgrid making that shout, but what that caller is on about is that we're generating, or we did per day in 1 month, €1.3 million worth of green energy, which was wasted because we couldn't get it into the network and into people's homes. Greg, the Dáil is voting on banning fox hunting with dogs today. Under the bill, foxes can still be shot if they are a problem, but the bill would stop them being torn apart by dogs, which is cruel. Can people contact their TDs to support the bill, as foxes are an essential part of the ecosystem? Another, the state is deliberately impoverishing Donegal, as there are not enough voters here for civil servants in Dublin to bother about. I don't know anyone who isn't struggling at the minute. Yeah, indeed, a lot of people under pressure. It's always a pleasure travelling through Derry Airport, all the staff looking after us so well. That comes in from Ray. Indeed, Ray, and it's a lovely small airport. It reminds me of Ireland West, Knock, etc. The very nice airports to travel through, because here there's no escalators, there's no stairs. You just walk, you park your car right at the front door, you're through, and sitting perhaps having your, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, beverage or your breakfast in no time whatsoever. Just in case I don't get to remind you, I want to make sure I have enough time. We are broadcasting live here from the city of Derry Airport throughout the course of this morning. We were hoping to have Home for Christmas in the confines of the show, but such is the nature of air travel, and through no fault of the airport, the Logan Air flight into into us has been delayed, so it's not landing until 12:05. So we have the Divine family, Bernadette and Brendan and their family here, waiting patiently on the arrival of Claire and Ronan Brannigan and their three children. Home for Christmas is an initiative that we have here to try and get people together at Christmas if they ordinarily couldn't have gotten together, and that's exactly what we are doing here. So that's all going to happen. My apologies for buying time, because we're just trying to stay on top of everything here in this live environment. That's all coming up between, I suppose, around 1, Caroline, do you think? 12:30 onwards. So if you want to watch what's going on, stay tuned to the social media. Set the reminder. We're going to be coming back live very shortly across our social media, and we'll also be streaming, broadcasting live primarily on the radio, which is great. That's coming in on John Breslin's show. So I want to thank all the team here for making this possible. We're going to stick around and make sure Home for Christmas is possible for you as well. Joe Deck's doing the technical stuff as well. Carolyn Orr, researching and producing the show, assisted ably by Shannon Wilkin, who's also looking after our social media. So keep your eyes peeled to our social media. Keep your ears peeled to the radio, because the very special Home for Christmas 2025 is going to be coming up for you in the next hour or so. But as I say, keep your ears peeled, because as soon as they're ready to come in, we're going to be ready to broadcast.